Ah, is there no more relaxing style of video game than a fishing video game? Just getting out there on the water, casting your line, and oh my God, what's that? We're talking about Dredge. Everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where we are talking about our last pick for now on the Wheel of Indies, Dredge. My name is Drew, and I need the grizzled lighthouse keeper to my crusty mariner. Miles, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. You kind of bring in two things that, like, I've come to love. Well, one thing I've always loved, but I've come to love over the last couple of years, which is fishing games. Which, and not fishing games in, like, what's the company? Ripa? Is that the company? Rapala?
Oh, like the actual, like, fishing?
Fishing games? Like, all the fishing games I like are, like, usually narrative or part of farming games. but, obviously I've always been a horror guy, but mixing... The cosmic horrors with a cozy fishing game is, I mean, just a recipe for success to me.
Yeah, the game, of course, as we just mentioned, is Dredge, put out by Black Salt Games, which is a very small New Zealand development team. They started putting this game together in 2020, and really their goal was to create something atmospheric, based on some other indies that they were playing at the time. And Dredge definitely is that. So you have a story, basically, but it's not, you know, unlike a lot of games, there's a lot of optional storytelling in this game alongside some required storytelling. You can go through this game and not follow the storyline of the game at all and just go around picking up regular fish and occasionally some weird, creepy fish.
Yeah, which is kind of what I was doing. I did, like, pay attention to, you know, some of the story beats that I was getting, but I was more interested in, like, just getting enough stuff so that I could keep on trucking and keep on fishing.
Yeah. So this is where I do want to talk about the actual mechanics of the game itself. So you, of course, are a fisherman. You're on a boat and you go out into the water and you go to where there's little, you know, bubbles and you press, you know, I was playing keyboard and mouse. I don't know if you're playing a Steam Deck or controller or whatnot.
PS Portal.
And basically you just go and this is one thing that I really like. So fishing mechanics in video games, especially fishing mini games, which granted I hesitate to call this a mini game because it is kind of most of the game. Sometimes it's rapidly tapping to keep a bar going up. Sometimes it's going left and going right and doing all of this stuff. But the fishing in this is all based on a time mechanic. You can sit there and just have the bar fill up and you'll get the fish. Or if you tap a button at the right time when your little meter is in this little green or yellow mark, you will speed up the catching of the fish and therefore have more time to fish because the other
and if you hit the yellow you'll get a more valuable fish.
Yes, you'll get a trophy fish. But what I like about that is as you go further and further into the game, that mechanic changes a little bit. Sometimes it's a bar in a circle and you have to hit it as it goes around the circle. Sometimes it's three separate little portions of a circle that have a bar going back super fast. There's one where it's a circle going out and expanding and you have to hit the right mark right as it hits the, like, inner circle, outer circle kind of thing. And they really mix up that mechanic so that you don't always get the same thing every time, which I really, really appreciated them doing. And in addition to finding fish, you can also find supplies. You can find treasure in the water. You can find, you know, planks of wood and you know, metal scrap. And that has a that one you can't just wait for it to to capture. You have to be a little more active because this has a circle that goes around and your marker that you have to jump back and forth between two circles that that have different blocks in them. So you have to be, you know, pretty good at going, you know, out in, which I was.
Yeah. Otherwise, unlike the fishing, otherwise it just restarts. Yeah,
exactly. But there's another mechanic as all of this fishing is going down, and that is the time mechanic. There is a night and day cycle to this game, and this is where the game gets interesting. Do you remember, Miles, the old GameCube game Eternal Darkness? You know this is an audio podcast.
I know this is an audio podcast, so everyone couldn't just see the exasperated, like, come on, look, I gave Drew. Yes, I am familiar with the game.
Well, that game was famous for, of course, having a health bar and a magic bar and a sanity bar. And this game has something very similar in a panic statistic. The longer that you are out to sea at night specifically, the more panicked you get. And as you get more panicked, fog gets deeper. You like little rocks, like rocks pop up in front of your ship.
Yeah, like little Matrix rocks. Like, yeah, I appreciate a lot of the touches. I think sometimes you'll throw fish away.
Sometimes you'll throw fish away. Sometimes this weird black goop will infiltrate your ship and infect the fish that are in your hold. You will attract these big, giant, creepy Lovecraftian monsters that will attack your ship when you're super panicked and stressed out.
Yeah.
And
just super annoying sometimes.
And if you sail through that, yes, you the sun comes back up and you still keep going and you can see more and you don't have the heavy fog, but a lot of other stuff still happens. It was really, really cool to see and really fun to kind of experiment with that stuff. I will say my first criticism of the game, and I say this, it is important to note that I completed this game. I got two of the 2.5 endings that you can get in this game. I played the crap out of this game. I like this game a lot. But my main kind of criticism with this is that while that panic meter exists and a lot of and it leads you into some fun things, it is extremely easy to, like, it's not punishing. It's very easy to get rid of panic.
Most games with a sanity meter do punish you. If you've ever played it, well, like you said, Eternal Darkness or Amnesia, any game with some sort of sanity component, will absolutely give you some sort of punishment for kind of going over the kind of normal sanity part. This game does, I mean, like, yeah, occasionally you might throw a fish away, which is obnoxious, but you're not, okay, cool, I'm gonna go catch another one.
Yeah,
like, okay. And there are ways that to help circumvent, like, you know, you get better lights and stuff like that do help to some degree. Which is part of the fun of the beginning part of the game is kind of when you start to kind of get things. So I will also say I really did enjoy this game. I did not complete it. I put some hours into it and everything. Part of it was, I remember talking about this a while back, but there was a fishing/cooking game/adventure. That I played a couple years back called Moonglow Bay, and a lot of the fishing and the boat mechanics remind me so much of Moonglow Bay, and I put so many hours into that game to where I was like, okay, cool, I've got this, and I like all the Lovecraftian stuff, but like, I'm also gonna maybe switch over to SD Gundam for a little bit. but it's not that it's poorly conceived. I think one of the things that I appreciated that another very small publisher did was the option to leave the boat. All of the not all the shore kind of components of this game are done in sort of a visual novel style, which is not a bad thing. But I do like the idea of being able to hop off the boat and kind of explore the town or something, which is an option in Mungula Bay. And I think that would have been a nice option. This has kind of more of, I don't know if you ever played Darkest Dungeon, but you have, like, you know, five places you can go per location, and then you select it, and then you have a couple people you can talk to because they'll give you quests and stuff.
Yeah.
All that is great. The vibe of this game is fantastic. They do a good job with that kind of creepy vibe, that Lovecraftian vibe, but like, just short of like, it's tongues in its cheek, but it's not overt about it, you know?
Yeah. And even like the way the story is actually told is you encounter a lot of characters. You start in is it Marrow Bay? Is that the
Deep Marrow or something like that?
There's
or...
Deep Marrow and there's Little Marrow, which is like,
it's one of those two.
A town across the, like, you start out in this one sort of town, and ironically, you know, the opening is you crashing on this island, and everybody kind of treats you a little weird when you land. And the mayor's like, oh, we'll give you a fishing boat because you're here about this fishing job, right? Well, here's a new boat because your old one's too messed up. So have fun. Oh, and don't go too far because you got to pay this off. And so you think, okay, so my first task is going to be paying off this boat. And weirdly, at least for me, I paid off the boat almost immediately.
Yeah, you know, I kind of love that. I kind of love that they almost like subvert the trope of like, oh yeah, you gotta pay this thing off and it's gonna take you a little bit. Not one bit.
And so your boat is a particular size and it has little squares that have, you know, the space that you can store the fish in, which all sounds well and good until you start getting to some weird shaped fish that is like, can we not just curl this thing up? Can we cut it in half? Like, this is the most annoying fish possible in my hold. Because in this maybe is my other real complaint about the game. And again, I played a lot of hours of this game. I upgraded my boat to the maximum capacity. I upgraded every stat in it that you can do without buying DLC, which I may buy. Because it's on sale and I like this game a lot and I want to continue playing it. But even in the maximum capacity, you have specific slots that are for things like the lights on your boat and the rod on your boat and the nets and the other stuff, and engines. But it doesn't quite all fit. Like, you have, let's say, 8 squares that you can have for your fishing rods.
Mm-hmm.
But your fishing rod is this weird L shape that you can't, but you have this other thing that lets you catch large creatures, but it doesn't fit there. So you have to put it on the other side. And if you put it on the other side, then you can't have, like, there's no way to have everything in this game.
Right.
Which I'm a little annoyed by that.
It's both annoying and the game, like, it kind of adds to the you know, the survival horror-ness of it, where like you have to, one, kind of be careful with your resources and be very purposeful with what you are putting into your boat in this case.
Yeah. Well, it's similarly, the engines, like in the maximum size ship, you have, let's say, like 6 or 7 blocks across the back that are engine blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. Only 5 of them are, and you still have these other blocks next to the engines that's just empty space to throw a fish in. And it's like, why can't I put another engine right there, game? Why can't I do that? It drives me crazy that it's not centered.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind at the same time. Like, I do appreciate that design mechanic to a degree, because, like, yes, this game is not meant for you to like really fill up with every fish in one go round and then deliver everything. Like, you're supposed to go on multiple trips that last multiple days. And
I got an achievement. I got a Steam achievement for filling my cargo hold 100% with no gaps or spaces.
That's cool.
I only did it once, but I got the achievement for it. But still, this game is very satisfying to go out, catch some fish. There's a lot of one button sell mechanics, which is, thank you. I just have to go to the fishmonger and click sell all, and it sells everything. I don't even have to click anything. I hold a button and it sells everything.
I very much like that.
But the game is told really the story, because again, you're fishing. But you encounter these weirdos. One of the first people you encounter is this guy called the Collector. And that's really where the story of the game surrounds, because he is sending you basically to the far corners of the map to find these artifacts that he wants to find. And that's really where you get to introduced to, you know, you go to this area and you get introduced to this character who wants you to do this stuff, and then they'll give you the item, or you'll find the item by going over there, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these areas are different. Like, one's very rocky, one is very like overrun with jungles and vines, and it's really hard to navigate through, and you do a lot of stuff where you just accidentally hit a vine and suddenly you drop two of the fish you were carrying, and it's really freaking annoying. But you understand, because this game, while punishing, is never that punishing. You know what I mean? Like, oh no, I lost a couple of fish, and then I spent $60 to the person to fix my ship. It's not that big of a deal. But as you're going around, you will occasionally find these glowing bottles in the ocean. And if you pick these up, they're messages in a bottle that are effectively telling the story of the game. But they're told out of order. Like, the first one I found was about these two characters on their honeymoon. And then later I found one that was very different that I won't get into. but as you go through, you kind of piece together this stuff as that main story is being told through all these weird stories, like the airman and his air crew that were shot down over the jungle and are contending with a vicious sea monster there, or the cult leader who's the only member of the cult and is looking for his replacement so that he can finally go do something else, or the scientist who they were trying to do research on something and their ship was attacked by this gigantic sunken creature, this like giant squid creature that will, if you get your boat too close to it, attack your ship. And it's all really interesting. The art style is really cool with sort of like these. I mean, it feels very Cthulhu-esque, Cthulhu-inspired, but also very like nautical. Like, it's a lot of heavy sweaters and everybody just looks dirty and unhappy. And
I... The weird thing about this game for me is, like, every bit of it is something that I should be going, like, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over. And I mean, I have to say, I very much like this game. I'm trying to figure out why I felt like the vibe was off, because the vibe and the atmosphere is fantastic. I think it really is because I spent, like, so many hours playing a different fishing game that has very, very similar kind of... fishing mechanics. Everything else about the game is different, but I spent so much time in that boat to where, like, I was like, oh cool, I get this. Also, you know, I've sunk in a lot of time with Dave the Diver too, which is a very different game, but, you know,
hilariously, this game has Dave the Diver DLC
content. I know. I've met the fisherman in Dave the Diver. I think it's mostly just because I've spent a lot of time with, weirdly enough, with fishing games over the last couple years. I mean, I put a lot of hours that were like, every time I was like, cool, I'm going to play this later. Like, this is a perfect pickup and play game where, oh, I'm just going to, you know, spend, you know, half an hour. I'm going to play this while, you know, watching, you know, opening day, maybe this Thursday. Not the Braves opening day, because theirs is like next week. They're in San Diego, I think. But I think if you haven't played a lot of fishing games, I mean, one, you're going to enjoy this game no matter what. This is a very solid fishing game. It's a very fun, addicting fishing game. But I also feel like if you've played a lot of them recently, like, this is going to give you a different flavor, which it absolutely does. But like, I didn't feel a push to do this to completion. Like, I felt like, oh, cool, I'm comfortable here. I understand, like, the assignment. I didn't do a lot of the story. I just kind of floated around and fished and to see what I could break and stuff. Because I was like, no, I'm gonna finish this game, but I'm just gonna do it, you know, eventually.
Which is fine.
I love that we have the option in this game. Like, you can just kind of F off and start fishing for a little bit and do whatever you want. There's no time limit.
It's funny that you say that, because I was in the main area maybe a little too long. I had gotten the quest to find this stuff. And one of the things that you have to bring to the collector is a necklace. And I had found a necklace, but I sold it to the trader. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Did I just, you know, mess up my run because of this? It's like, no. You'll know when you're going to get the big necklace. But I just decided that I was upgrading my ship. I just decided, you know what? I've been around this original island section. I'm just going to go out and I'm going to start exploring all of this stuff. And it was at that point that I accidentally came across the first piece of the collector's treasure, because I happened to go to the spot where you're supposed to go to first. Wasn't intending to do it, just accidentally happened to do it. And that's when I got access to the next piece of the puzzle, which, once you return the first item to the collector, spoiler warning for this game, you start to get dark magic powers to use on your boat. things like being able to hold down a button to speed up your boat at the cost of maybe damaging it and also increasing your panic levels, or being able to teleport across the map back to the collector's house, or other powers that I won't spoil because I know that that's probably the only 2 miles got.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty wild, gang. It's pretty wild.
I also think that, and maybe I just haven't explored enough and done enough of the narrative stuff. This game doesn't seem to, a lot of these fishing games tend to hide a lot in it. And there are like different quests and stuff you can do. I found that I did meet the collector, and I went to like this one direction where he was kind of pointing towards, and I was talking to different people on different sets of an island, surrounded by cliffs and stuff. And I liked all of that. That was very, I like that there's like these multiple things. Oh, well, I have like 5 rare fish that I want you to find. I was like, okay, then now we're getting really video gamey here. This is the stuff that I'm used to, you know. But I feel like there could have been more of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
I do. And I also, this is another thing that I will say, because it was there that I began really trying to upgrade my ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I kind of discovered that upgrades in this game come a little too easy. And I don't like saying that, because I don't, you know, I mean, I do though. I'm like a power leveler, and I will go out and find the best path to get through all of this and the best stock of fish to get all of this stuff. And what would happen is I would go out and I knew that I would need like 3 metal scraps and 2 bolts of cloth and 2 wood planks for this upgrade, and I'd go out and I'd almost immediately find them. And then, oh, but I don't have enough money to buy the upgrade, so now I have to go back out And my only real issue is that I kept getting distracted between getting the upgrade materials and getting the fish to get the money to pay for the upgrades. And so I just had to kind of teach myself to ignore certain things when I got out there. And eventually it got to the point where once I had upgraded stuff so much, and I eventually upgraded everything, and now I have a bunch of upgrade materials just sitting in my storage. Because you have boat storage and you also have storage on the shore. And that's the other thing that it's really like, the upgrades come a little too fast, and at a certain point, money isn't really a thing in the game. Like, you would think that it would be more important, but I think there's a fine line of the story they're trying to tell and the actual game itself. And I think they may have leaned too far into making the game a bit easier. There is an option. This is optional, and I didn't learn about it until too late, that will turn off aggression of monsters in the game so that you can just kind of float around without, and you'll see the monsters, but they won't attack your ship. And I think that's cool for folks that get freaked out by monsters attacking your ship. That would have saved me a lot of frustrating moments when I was getting attacked and I got sunk a couple of times because of some monsters, because I just couldn't, because they hit my engines and then I couldn't get away. And so now I'm just getting hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's, I feel like there's, and I didn't see if there was a difficulty slider. I don't think there was, but I'd have to go back.
I don't know if I saw one either.
But because they spent a lot of time crafting this story and these weirdo characters that you're supposed to go and encounter and talk to, that they wanted you to get to all that stuff. So they built all this fishing mechanic and upgrade mechanic and all of this stuff, but they made it a little too easy to get the stuff to do it. And I don't know whether I like that or I don't like that. Like, cause I like upgrading. I upgraded my ship to the maximum. Everything.
I don't mind it, just because these games with a cosmic horror leaning tend to be somewhat on the unforgiving side, and this is one of the few that doesn't really seem to be. And I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, I mean, again, because I think the aim is to kind of fulfill that this nebulous, this phrase has kind of popped up in the last 5 years plus, cozy horror. And apparently at least an attempt at a thing, but this is kind of that vibe where, like, you don't want to push your luck into being too unforgiving and too survival horror for a game like this, because you do want that kind of cozy fishing aspect. You do want to add some difficulty with the monsters and stuff, but I see the reasoning for it. I see the reasoning for it. It's perceived lack of difficulty in so much that it is, at the end of the day, kind of a cozy game. And these games aren't always meant to be super challenging, and there's some challenging stuff in this. I mean, you can easily miss out on a trophy or get goofed up by something in the dark pretty early on, pretty easily. And I do agree with you that the story bits that I did get to were really charming. I was kind of surprised by how, like I said, it's so close to being tongue-in-cheek, because you have some of these tropey type of Lovecraftian characters, but they're just overdone enough to, like, maybe not be like in Disney's Haunted Mansion, but like, well, so, but they're close.
But there are characters that are way more tongue in cheek than the other characters. Like, you didn't meet the cult fanatic.
No, I didn't.
That is a guy that you can literally just not, like, just say, "You stay silent," as he goes on his big rants. But there is another aspect of that I did like a lot, and that is you have characters that you can miss meeting completely because you may not float by the island that they're standing on the edge of to talk to. And I happened to find one that unlocked a whole lot more of the story. The game never points you to this character. It never you know, says, oh, go check this island out to go talk to this weirdo on this island. I just happened to float by and see a little option to go and talk to this person. And it unlocked a huge thing in the story for me, which was awesome. Similarly, there are, you know, a lot of weird side quests where it's just like, oh, go get me a weird fish. Okay, go get me another weird fish. Okay, go get me another weird fish. Here's a reward that at this point, that at this point you may not need because you've already upgraded everything on your ship. So yeah, this game scratched an itch for me. And part of me really likes that it is not super deep of an experience, but part of me also kind of wishes that it was. And that, to Black Salt Games, this is their first and so far only game they put out. They put this out at the end of 2023, and they've continued to release content for it. They've released a bunch of free stuff. They've got paid DLC that adds new mechanics, and that's one thing that I'm interested in. One, there is an add-on that is a whole, like a new tech tree, like upgrade system for this oil rig that is being built in the area. And part of me is like, I kind of want to check this out. I kind of want to check this thing out. And I might, because it's on the Steam sale right now for half price. So you got me, guys. I'm excited to see what you guys come up with next. If there's a Dredge 2, I like Dredge 2 deeper. Oh, it's a fish. It's a fish reference.
Or like Deep Fear.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to see them, you know, add to the Dredge universe. I think that there is a space for games like this. And I do love games like this. I think I just played, as I had recently put a lot of time in various games with fishing mechanics or where fishing was a major part of it. But, you know, if I had played this maybe at a different point in the year, or, you know, I would have been head over heels. Also, you know, this is why I'm glad this isn't a primarily video game show, because I'm like, you know, still trying to finish other things that didn't get to finish before, or
I get it.
You know,
I definitely get that. Hey, Miles,
or stuff's coming out. You know, I've got a PlayStation backlog, and I got this little Gundam game that is really cute and really fun to play.
I want to talk to you about that too, because we'll talk about that
off air. I mean, I've barely put time into it.
We'll talk about that off air, because I've spent a lot of hours in that game.
Yeah, but, I'm still in like the tutorial stuff.
I got some best practices for you. Anyway, you know, this game was put out. It was developed by Black Salt Games. It was put out by a group called Team 17, which is who published the game, and they've published many games over the years. You know what one of their first games they ever published back in the mid-1990s was, Miles?
What's that?
Worms. Ah, it's fishing all the way down.
I love that.
So with that said, I feel like we have talked out Dredge. I ended up really enjoying this game and spending a lot of time with it. Part of that was accessibility, because it was on, like, weirdly, like, this came out for phones a month ago. Didn't know that. I didn't get it on the phone. I got it on Steam, because the Steam sale happened to happen right as this episode was coming out. But it's everywhere. You can find it on literally every
platform. I played it on the PSN.
Yeah. It's on Switch. It's on PlayStations. It's on every major computer operating system. Like, it's everywhere. So yeah, I had a blast with this, and I may continue to play it. I'm itching on that DLC that's right there, just because I had such a good time with it. So this is gonna wrap up talking about the Wheel of Indies for now. We will return.
Oh yeah, this is absolutely something we're gonna come back to do. You know, I'm so glad we did this. Apparently, also one last thing about Dredge. Apparently, announced last year, Dredge is being adapted for a live action movie. So
yeah, that We'll see.
Yeah. Which is going to miss the point completely, but
yeah, I'm not so sure about that one, but we'll see.
Watch it be like just an indie darling.
I'd love to see it. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see it. Show it to me. I'll watch it. I liked the story a lot. I finished the story. I know what the story
yeah,
is.
No, I was enjoying it. Yeah, I mean, this is the first time we've done like a kind of a themeless outside of just indie games kind of thing. I enjoyed it a lot. We're certainly going to do more theme stuff in the future. But yeah, I like having this. I mean, we're never going to run out of indie games to play, so... This is I really had a great time. Got through some stuff in my backlog and frankly loved most of what we played.
Yeah, honestly, it was really, really great.
My Rad Ghost shirt came in the other day.
I'm so jealous of that Rad Ghost shirt that I could have also bought for myself. Like I'm jealous that you bought it, so now I can't buy it because I'll be copying you, you jerk.
I'm sure plenty of people have a Rad Ghost shirt. So I mean
I would love to hang out with other Rad Ghost enthusiasts.
And the next time that we're together in person, we can both wear it and be twinsies. We'll be twinning.
Yeah, that's the 2025 mantra. Rad Ghost twinning.
There you go, bud.
So with that said, though, this theme was interesting because it was indie games. Miles, I know you in particular. Mm-hmm. Love a good theme.
I do.
I don't know if you know this, Miles, but the month of April is upon us.
Yep.
And I also don't know if you know this, but the month of April is Star Trek Appreciation Month. Did you know this?
I did not know this.
Yeah. It is. Granted, every month is Star Trek Appreciation Month, yeah, so it's not special in that regard, but it is Star Trek Appreciation Month. And so we decided as an organization that we're going to take a look at not some Star Treks, but some things to appreciate outside of Star Trek. Some Trek likes. Some we're still deciding on the name for this.
I pitched this without even knowing it was Star Trek Month.
You realize I just made that up a second ago, right? This is not a real thing.
No, the annual commemorative day is April 5th.
Well, wouldn't you know it, maybe I just knew that subconsciously and spewed that out just because I love Star Trek so much. It just kind of emerged from my mouth, but I definitely thought I was making that up. That's very funny.
That's why I was like, this is serendipitous.
I take full credit.
Hey, finger on the pulse, man.
Finger on the pulse.
Always been that way.
So we're going to take a look at some TV series that sort of skirt the line of Star Trek. Some are set in space. Some are a little more serious. Some are a little more humorous. And some are set on a submarine. Next week, we are going to talk about Sequest DSV.
I've been lobbying for this for years.
Miles, the second that we talked about this, the second that Sequest came to Peacock, which is like 18 months ago, we've been trying to figure out how to get Sequest on the show. We have almost done a full watch of Sequest, and we almost committed to that for the month of April.
Yeah.
I feel like we've landed on a good spot, though. We are going to watch four episodes of the season one of three. There are three seasons of Sequest DSV. By the way, DSV, deep submersible vehicle. Yes. Oh, it's a submarine thing. It's all submarines. We're going to watch four episodes out of season one. We are going to watch the two-part opener, To Be or Not to Be, parts one and two. We are going to watch episode 19, Hide and Seek. And we are going to watch episode 22, Such Great Patience. So that's episode 1 and 2-ish, depending on where you're watching it. Peacock has them as 1 and 2, not as a one combined pilot. Episode 19, which we're watching for a very specific reason that will be very obvious if you go out and watch it too. And episode 22, because even when it's underwater, sometimes you also still have to talk to an alien. So with that said, gang, that is what we are going to do next week as we get into this and all other Star Trek like shows. A couple other Star Trek like shows. If you have a Star Trek like show that you want us to take a look at, let us know. You can email us, themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. You can message us on Blue Sky at themoreyounerd, or you can go to cosmiccrit.com. I know. Wait, Drew. This is The More You Nerd. Why am I going to cosmiccrit.com? Well, cosmiccrit.com is our sister show. It's a role-playing game that Miles and I play with all our friends. It's Starfinder by the Paizo Company. It's like D&D in space. It's really awesome. But Cosmic Crit is also the home of the Cosmic Crit Discord. So go to cosmiccrit.com. Upper right-hand corner, you're going to see all of our social media links. Click on the link to the Discord, and you can join the Cosmic Crit Discord and go head on over to the More You Nerd section of the Cosmic Crit Discord and talk to me and Miles all day while we are bored. So with that said, gang, we're going to end the show now. So they're rousing.
Nerd out. Tuner for y'all.